Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
I am very good with those guys. These guys have averaged 32, 33 points in the last three games. He's had a big part in that. He throws the deep ball real well, throws the intermediate stuff well. Obviously very athletic. You know, can run the gun runs for the quarterback. They run the RPOs, the zone reads. They have a good boot game with him. They've done a good job coaching him and adapting their offense to his skill set. He's really played well the last 3 weeks.
That's Coach Fangio. It's a What to Know Wednesday, and we're taking a deep dive into the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a team that, for some reason, decided to start with Tyrod Taylor, and then a doctor decided to end his career. And then Justin Herbert, first-round quarterback, who was inevitably going to take over, has taken over. And even though the results haven't been incredible in terms of wins and losses, the personal stats of Justin Herbert are through the roof.
Yeah.
And the offense is looking pretty darn good. So we'll look at the offense first. What are you seeing with this Chargers offense?
Well, they take a lot of shots, very similar to what the Broncos have been doing. Drew Lock, man, for the last couple games, it's been home run or nothing. And when you watch the Chargers, Justin Herbert's got a ridiculously talented strong arm. I mean, he barely flicks his wrist, and it goes about 50 yards. And that causes him to sail on a lot of passes, and he will overthrow a bunch of guys. But they take shots down the field. The biggest difference that I see when I watch the Chargers, Justin Herbert's got a good feel already as a young player of when to take the chances. And he throws the ball down the field, but then if it's not there, man, it's dump off city. Dump off city to their running backs, man. And he's got a pretty good completion percentage so far in his career. He's throwing at 67.4% for his completion percentage. The best part of his game, the most important part of his game, he's got 12 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He's taking care of the ball. And when he takes his home run throws, he puts it in a spot where his guy's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it. He certainly does not underthrow guys. He certainly does not put it in a spot where the defense back can catch it. He just launches that thing, and it's going to be his guy or nobody else. Man, it's Keenan Allen. You got to know where this guy is. Every single play, every single game, he is just ridiculously good, man. Keenan Allen had 125 yards against the Jaguars. A little bit of a more quiet game against the Saints. Watch that game as well. He only had 2 receptions in that game. But the rest of the games, you look at the season, man, he's got 10 catches here, 8 catches there, 13 catches here. They go through Keenan Allen. With Austin Eckler out, the running game looks a little bit different, but they still can run the ball well at times. They will use wildcat. They'll use tricky formations. I like what I'm seeing, man, and mainly what I like is I see a quarterback that has got all the talent in the world, and as a young guy, he knows how to take care of the ball.
On ESPN.com, they have his projected numbers. And I like projected numbers after a 5-game sample. I think that can be legit.
Sure.
Projected 67.4% completion percentage.
Well, that's exactly what it is right now.
Fantastic. For 4,100 yards, which would be 32 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
Jeez.
Sign me up.
I mean, that's...
When we talked about what kind of year we wanted for Drew Lock, it wasn't even this good.
No, I mean, that's like 3-1 on your touchdowns and interceptions. That's a unbelievable season. I mean, Hall of Fame type of quarterbacks have plenty of years in which they don't go 3-1 on their touchdown to interception ratio. I always say, like, the threshold, you want to be about 2-1 or slightly better. You want to just take care of that ball, get twice as many touchdowns as you do interceptions, and you're probably going to be giving your team a pretty good opportunity to win football games. I think a huge part of why they're putting up so many yards is that they do trail in a lot of games, and the running game has not been as strong at times as they want it to be, but they're just trusting their young QB. They're letting him sling the rock.
It's been a great start for Justin Herbert, no doubt about it. But they have... I mean, it's 5 games. He's 1-4. They haven't closed out these games.
Mm-hmm.
but it was an overtime loss to New Orleans. It was a one-score loss, a touchdown loss to Tampa Bay. It was a five-point loss to Carolina. It was an overtime loss to Kansas City. No blowouts in here. No embarrassments in here.
No, and they've all been exciting. I mean, they've all been neck and neck down to the wire. You know, you played the Buccaneers. You played Tom Brady. You went neck and neck with him. Justin Herbert went neck and neck with him. 38-31. They're putting up points in every game. The only game that they really didn't put up points in was against the Panthers when they only put up 16. They lost 21-16 to the Panthers.
So you got an offense that's probably going to put up 25 to 27 points no matter what. That's what the Chargers are probably going to do. Can the Broncos counter that going against the Chargers defense? We'll dig into it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
First off, dynamic pass rushers in Ingram and obviously Bosa. But, I mean, I feel like Joey's the big name there that kind of crowds up the rest of the space to be talked about. Linebacking core is obviously a veteran in Perriman. Murray is a really talented rookie. And then you got King, you got maybe Chris this week. You never know. They're a really talented team. They're going to fly around, and you got to be careful with the ball. Turnovers are a key point for us this week, and do our best to limit those.
Maybe Chris.
Oh, yeah, that caught me by surprise. I didn't know that there was any hope of Chris Harris playing in this game.
I didn't think so either.
I don't think there is, best of my knowledge.
I thought he was out for sure. That was kind of just interesting to hear that. Hey, guys, behind the scenes, dig into Chris Harris, see what's what. I thought he was out for sure. Derwin James is out, too.
Derwin James is out, for sure. They've had a bunch of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Melvin Ingram missed the start of the season. He's only played in a handful of games, and he does not look like himself. I tell you what, I watching that Jacksonville game today, Melvin Ingram...
Not doing anything.
He looked slow. He looked like he wasn't very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It just was not very impressive. However, on the other side of the ball, ooh, buddy.
Oh, you got Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
Joey's a wrecking machine.
I mean, wrecking ball is the right word. That's exactly what he is, an absolute wrecking ball. Man, he's only got 4.5 sacks on the season, which is respectable. You're only 6 games in, but it's not like you're lighting the world on fire either. However, man, in the running game, he's got his guy bubbled back 2 or 3 yards every single play in the passing game. I mean, he looks like he is a fingertip away from 4 or 5 strip sacks. Joey Bosa is a man to be reckoned with.
However, their defense is definitely not as strong as their offense.
Right.
And they are not terrible.
Middle of the road.
They're very middle of the road.
They're middle of the road in just about everything. In rush defense, they give up 113 yards per game. That's not terrible in today's game. It's not great either, but it's not terrible. Pass defense, they struggle a little bit.
You can get to
them. About to give up 253 yards per game, and you know that means if you've got a good game, you could easily get 300 yards on these guys in the passing game. Points per game gives you reason for optimism. So you look at what the Chargers are doing offensively, and we're assuming they're going to score between 27 and 30 points per game. Well, their defense is giving up 25.7 points per game. All right, well, you've got an opportunity here. I mean, you got to start to explode offensively, and I can't exactly give you a ton of reasons for optimism why we would explode. We haven't seen it yet. You certainly didn't see it last week. You really didn't see it the week before against the Patriots, although you could have had we not dropped 3 touchdowns. You certainly could have seen the offense explode.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, though, man, they average giving up 25.7 points per game. They're going to score about 27. All right, you do your deal offensively. You might be able to get in a shootout with these guys.
What would you do with Bosa?
Well, I would have a plan for him. I would know where he's at. I would, in empty and scat pro, I would send a slide to him.
Do they move him around or they keep him over on the left side?
Mostly over the left side, it looks like to me.
Or, well, it would be against Dotson on the right side.
No, actually, it would be over. Yes. Okay. I would have a plan for it, man. I mean, when you've got empty pro and you've got the ability to send the slide either direction you want to, Ingram does not look very scary to me. Their interior guys are not pass rushers.
Garrett will handle Ingram.
They're not really disruptors. They're not the inside guys. But okay. When you've got the opportunity to send the slide towards them, man, do it.
You gotta
set them tight. See the problem with Bosa. If you set deep on him, if you give him any ground whatsoever, well, he's just going to run through your chest, and all it takes is one long arm stab, and he's got you backed up into the quarterback. If you set tight on him, he's got some great ninja hands, man. I mean, he's got the ability to get those two-hand wipers on you. He gets it off of you very quickly. He gets the short corner. He's got the full package, but, man, if I was playing Bosa, I'd play as tight as I possibly can, and I would make this guy earn everything he can get because I know, especially the way I play it, I mean, I'm 6'8". You want to beat me, what do you got to do? Just run down my chest, you know? You've got the leverage. You're going to win. I can't give a guy like that ground.
Well, Dotson's 6'9", right?
Yeah.
He's even got a little height on
you,
too.
That's right.
All right, so how concerned – the best way to counter it in terms of Drew Locke's preparation against this defense is what?
I would look like you've got some opportunities in the passing game. Mm-hmm. I would. You know, I do think that you will see a different Drew Locke this week. You know, the Patriots week was one thing, and I was sitting here telling you after the Patriots game how frustrated I was because it was home run or nothing. But in Drew's mind, he's sitting here saying, yeah, I went for the home run ball every single time, but had we caught three of those, we would have had three more touchdowns. Like, I put the ball where it needed to be. This week against the Chiefs, it wasn't that way. It was home run or nothing, but he wasn't connecting and he wasn't putting the ball where he needed to. He was throwing into double, triple coverage. He was making mistakes. So I do believe this week he's going to be looking at this like, all right, I got to approach this game a little bit differently. I got to stay on the field. I got to manage the down and distance. But I do think there's some opportunities to be had in the passing game. Again, though, I say that and I'll fall back to get Drew underneath center. Give them a strong running game. They give up 113 yards per game on the ground. It's not like they're terrible in rush defense, but they're soft enough that you know you can manage the down and distance. And don't ask Drew to be in shotgun all game long, just making poor decisions.
See, this is why this team and this challenge for the Broncos seems winnable. That you can do something against this defense and against the secondary that's beat up a little bit. I think the Broncos defense overall is better than the Chargers defense. I get what's going on with Justin Herbert. He looks unbelievable, but he is a rookie.
All right, you did this a little bit last week. I'm going to challenge you this week here a little bit more. You're a little bit optimistic last week, and I know you're just trying to feel the temperature a little bit, and you know there's no reason to give the victory away on Monday for sure. But, you know, here we are. We're on Wednesday. We've watched a little bit of film. And for you to say it's winnable, I need you to tell me where the matchups are. Because even though they do give up those points, I still don't see the matchups that I'm like, man, we're better than them at this.
I just see a secondary that the Broncos can get over on.
Yeah, but is our passing game better than their secondary?
I think it can be. I wonder why it's not a slam dunk. Like, I really don't understand Jerry Jeudy's issues, although... And we can play it a little bit later. Apparently, he had a really great day today, and I think something's maybe clicking in with Jerry Jeudy where he's taking a little bit more ownership with stuff. At least that's the message I heard today out of Dove Valley.
I don't think Jerry's ever been the problem, man. He's open. You just got to give him the ball.
Well, that could be the case, too, and you may see a little more, hey, I get it. You went to college with Albert O, and we love him. But, I mean, you can't just have four targets to Jerry Jeudy. Of course, this is the problem with the way this offense is designed, period. Like, how we said this a million times. How are you going to split things up? Where are you going to be focused? How are you going to actually use all these weapons they have? And I tell you what, Drew Locke spoke about it, and he gave his own self-evaluation. You'll hear it next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We have the War Room coming up, brought to you by Brothers Barbecue. I understand the food has been dropped off much to the smiles of the of everybody around here. And Orlando will be here, and so will Nate Jackson. New dad again, Orlando Franklin. And Nate's got a baby at home.
Yeah, buddy. That's awesome.
And you got your three little ones. Not as little as theirs. They got babies. Baby
oh,
babies.
Oh, yeah. I got kids now.
You want are you going to?
Real kids.
Fourth?
I don't know about that.
I mean, once you have the third, I mean, what's the fourth? You got all the stuff.
I don't know about that.
You got the third seat in the van or whatever you're driving.
I mean, that has not permanently been decided yet, but I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, go for it. All right, so we're looking forward to those guys being here with us in just a little bit. Drew Locke, little Drew Locke assessment from Drew Locke himself. So how about this right out of the gates, his response to people saying Shermer's play calls and formations aren't doing him any favors. Oh, man. Wow, hello. Here we go.
Yeah, I think we have a really open room. There's been multiple times where we've all talked about things together. He even passed things by me. Do I like this? Do I not like this? We sit together every Saturday, go over my number one plays in this down distance, and pretty much gets called like that. He wants what I'm comfortable with. And, you know, I get a selection of what, you know, goes in per week for the defense we're playing, but we talk about it. We talk about it every single day in our room. And I personally think he's doing a great job. I think I could have done a lot better job on Sunday. Complete easy passes, work through my progressions better, trust our O-line a little more, and that's fully my plan this week, and I'm excited to go do that.
Well, one thing that Fangio admitted, they haven't gone to the screen passes. They haven't executed them, but they haven't used them very much. And if you look at the running stats, I'm not pushing Drew Locke to run necessarily. Kyler Murray, 65 attempts. All right, you're not Kyler Murray. Fine. Don't worry about it. Joe Burrow, 32 rushing attempts. All right. Herbert, 25 attempts. Daniel Jones, 31 attempts. Drew Locke, 11.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Do we got a quarterback who we're not utilizing his athletic skills enough?
First off, did Drew just respond to my video that was out the other day? Was that what that was?
Was that like
a response to everything that I was talking about in my video? I think it might have been.
It sounded like it.
Yeah.
Or at least Arnie Stapleton, who asked the question, may have been influenced.
Oh, well, I love Arnie, so I appreciate it. Right on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been saying this for a while. I think that Drew Locke, I don't see anything that's going on with our offense right now that I could identify that was put in for Drew. That's in Drew's wheelhouse. That's his comfort zone. And I don't think that Drew Locke is an overly athletic quarterback, but I think he's an above average athletic quarterback. He's certainly athletic enough that you could utilize his feet a little bit. You saw it down there in the red zone this week. We scored a touchdown on a zone read. And to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong here, D-Mac, but honestly, that's like the first zone read I can remember ever with Drew Locke. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And maybe there was one or two last year that's not coming to the top of my recollection here, but not many. And when you watch, I think that Justin Herbert is actually a good example of what you could do to utilize his athletic ability a little bit better. Justin Herbert doesn't have designed like quarterback lead runs. No, but he's got plenty of zone reads, and it's not like you have to run it 6, 7, 8 times a game. Huh? No, you just sprinkle in 2 or 3 here and there. And one of my favorite things that comes off the zone read, well, number one, you should have the answers, okay? So you've got the ability to choose the correct answer, assuming that you read the play right and you read the defensive end and you know whether you hand the ball off or whether you're going to keep it. You should have the right answer in the run. But what I like more than that is what comes after that. And, you know, the things you can do off of play action with zone read in particular and RPOs, man, RPOs, they are some of the easiest reads you could possibly have as a quarterback. Now, you got to do it in real time, and you got to be able to understand, do I hand this ball off? Do I keep it? Do I throw it? And you got to recognize what your key is. You got to see it pre-snap, and then you got to see it in real time. But once you do, you don't have a gigantic progression that you go through. It's usually like a little drift route that is very easy to complete, and they usually go for 12 to 15 yards a pop. And I do think that you need to start sprinkling in a little bit more zone read. I don't think that Drew Lock is athletic enough that you could design quarterback runs like Josh Allen. That's not who he is. But you could just do a little bit here and there, start sprinkling it in, and I would like to see those numbers. Like, if I was looking at this list right now, I would like to see Drew Lock's rushing attempts, probably somewhere between the 17 to 20 mark. I don't think it needs to be more than that. You don't need to be trying to do it 7 or 8 times a game, but just enough to keep the defense honest and set up easy reads in the throwing game.
Well, what's great, too, is that usually if you can use it and you can sprinkle it in, it's going to get you some first downs that you normally wouldn't. Justin Herbert running the ball, 10 first downs, Drew Lock 3. This is over 5 games, so it's not like the most in the world, but it's a couple of first downs. It's a couple of drives you keep going. And this is the availability and advantage to have in a guy like Drew Lock compared to somebody like Roethlisberger, Rivers, Flacco, who, you know, you have no chance to have that. So why wouldn't you use something that gives you an advantage to your advantage more often?
Well, and again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. When you run your quarterback, that is the only time that you ever have 11-on-11 football. It's the only time. Otherwise, you're playing 10 offensive guys versus 11 defensive guys because the quarterback's not going to do anything. But if you run the quarterback, you've got answers to everything. There's nothing they can do defensively to get you out of it. And it's 11-on-11, and the numbers actually add up. It's the most competitive play you could possibly have. But I think the real problem is Drew Lock is not – he's not athletic enough to have true designed quarterback runs. It's got to come off of zone reads and RPOs, which those are not necessarily, to me, in my mind, those are not designed quarterback runs. Those are just reading the right guy. A designed quarterback run, to me, is like a 16 counter in which you're using your quarterback as your running back to get 11-on-11 football.
Yeah, I mean, you can be smart about it. Hopefully his knee brace won't get stuck in the dirt. Listen, it's something that's in their bag that they haven't used, they should use more. By the way, Kyler Murray, 65 attempts, 437 yards, 7 touchdowns, 28 first downs.
And yeah, that's unreal.
And his throwing percentage is 66.8. Are you kidding me? So you got a guy who's completing passes at a 67% rate and can run as good as a running back in the league.
I mean, you've got a guy when the game's on the line and you need to score a touchdown to tie up the game or win the game, you got to go 80 yards, and they're calling up designed quarterback draws, quarterback runs in a 2-minute drill.
And it's working.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Whew.
Weren't the Cardinals the worst team in the league not too long ago? Weren't they absolutely terrible?
That's right.
All right, more evaluation from Drew Lock. As he's asked about criticism that he's firmly been getting, how he's handling it, and what's going on third down, which has been a Mike Kliss project, by the way. I'll give you the inside scoop on that. Plus our Brothers Barbecue War Room today with Orlando Franklin and Nate Jackson, all still to come right here on The Drive.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Orlando Franklin, Nate Jackson coming in for the War Room. Can't wait to have the boys in. Thank you to Brothers Barbecue, the food. Tyler, that might have been a world record.
I almost made it. I got a little bit left. I got to get to it in the next break.
Cow.
I mean, I'm still an offensive lineman. I know how to eat now.
Holy cow.
I know how to eat.
And you're in great shape, but that wasn't it. You inhaled whatever you were eating there, right there.
Well, listen, if you don't do it, somebody else might eat it.
You are in really, really good shape. Orlando has lost a ton of weight. Nate Jackson's always been in great shape. But eating still must be a visceral offensive lineman just like I don't know if that's ever going to leave you, right? Just the thrill of just, like, eating copious amounts of food.
The hardest part is bedtime, man. I mean, I always had to keep weight on. So right. I would stuff myself right before I'd go to bed, right before I went to sleep.
Are you sweating because you're eating so much?
Possibly. Possibly. I mean, listen, I put in some work. I mean, I'm not messing around now.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. You, at bedtime, you...
I mean, just... That's the hardest meal to give up. I crave food right before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Oh.
I used to be able to eat like an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's like every single night. Just sitting there on the couch like, oh, it's 9:45. Let's get a pint of Ben and Jerry's in.
All right, how about this? We've had this classic conversation over the years. When was the last time you ate an entire large-sized pizza?
Oh, like last week.
No, just the entire pizza.
Yeah, I could definitely throw down a large pizza. That's no problem at all. I mean, no challenge.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Would you?
I mean, if I don't have at least half the pie, I feel like I'm eating it again in like 45 minutes.
This came up such a long time ago, but it was so funny because I was in the locker room one time and Kevin Wilkerson. Remember Kevin Wilkerson?
I do. Yeah, of course.
Great guy. The Broncos players, and maybe you can offer some insight, I don't know if they do this anymore, and certainly with COVID they don't, but they used to order food delivered to the locker room. Now, think about this. They've got a cafeteria where you can get basically anything you want.
Yeah.
But they would order food delivered. So I sat there one time at the locker room session, and Kevin had ordered an entire pizza for himself and just sat there during the media session and just... ate the entire pizza on his own.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We used to always make the rookies. The second practice was over. You would have about 30, 45 minutes before meetings. You'd have an opportunity to sit down, take a shower, do whatever you got to do. Maybe go get a quick snack out of the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Then you got to be back in the meeting rooms. We would...
Yeah, this was before DoorDash and Uber Eats and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, even with DoorDash, we would make the rookies go get it. I mean, we're not going to let somebody else do the job for them.
What were the hot spots?
Oh, Burger King, almost every single day. I mean, almost every single day. There was a Burger King right down the street from Dove Valley.
There was. I know exactly where that is.
I mean, they would have to go to it. But then on Fridays, we'd up the ante, and they'd have to go to... they'd have to go get our like a nice little burger, like Freddy's or something like that, you know? So we'd up the ante on Fridays.
What would the order be?
Fridays were rough on rookies, man. You got Waffle House in the morning. You got to pick up breakfast sandwiches in the morning.
Okay.
You got to have the coffee ready. Then as soon as practice is over, it's either Popeyes or Freddy's.
What would the order be at Burger King?
I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not going crazy here.
Are you
just
like
be
20?
Like a typical value meal?
Oh, but how many of them? I mean, are we talking?
Oh yeah, I mean, 12, 13 of them.
Welcome to Burger King. Can I take your order?
Can we get 12 double whoppers, 12 large fries, and 12 chocolate milkshakes, please? Thank you.
That'd be a typical order.
Yeah.
What is that? That's got to be $100.
No.
No.
These guys, they're rich.
Okay. If it comes in with all the food, the bags, and just like
but
not.
Then, I mean, the danger is you can't be late for meetings because if you're late for meetings, man,
fined.
I mean, number one, you're going to get fined by the team, and that's a hefty fine. Number two, you're going to get fined by us. And if you get the order wrong, man, listen, if I ordered a double Whopper and I got a single Whopper, that's $100 fine right there. So you better pay attention when we put our orders in.
That is too funny. Who are your rookies that you sent on? Anybody in particular stands out to you?
Dylan Day was a great
rookie.
Dylan
Day, the wrestler.
Yeah, he was a great rookie, man. I mean, he took harassment well. He knew how to handle it. We would send him down. Oh, I also forgot on Fridays every now and then. You'd have to send him downtown.
Downtown?
Downtown. Downtown before practice ever began, Voodoo Donuts. Yeah.
You would send Dylan Day downtown for Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Uh-huh. Right.
Wow.
I mean, if you did it once or twice once or twice, he skipped out on that. He regretted it. Great rookie. Dylan's the man. My daughter loves Dylan Day.
He was a cool guy. He had tattoos up and down, long blonde hair. Really did speak about joining the WWE at some point. I don't know what he's doing these days, but.
Well, he was in the XFL for a little bit.
Okay.
So he sort of, like, accomplished his lifelong dream of working for Vince McMahon.
He looked like he could be in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
He had that down.
Beautiful, gorgeous blonde locks. Yeah.
Boy, you guys must have been so tempted to take those off.
No. When a guy's got like that, I mean, you don't take that off. But, I mean, they've got to pay. So, I mean, it's not like he just gets out of it scot-free. Gotcha, so give us the eyebrows, you know?
Oh, jeez. Here's more Drew Locke. Would you say Drew Locke faced as much criticism this week as he has as a pro?
Yeah, I would.
I would. Too.
Yeah.
I would too. This
is the first week that I felt like the tides have turned and there's more doubters than there are believers.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
Before that, there was as many people out there defending him as there were people that were doubting on him. Right now, it feels like, man, if you say anything positive about Drew Locke, I mean, the text line, Twitter, it's just blowing up. It's going nuts. Like, how dare you? What do you know, Tyler, you big dummy, this guy? Until he knows how to complete a pass, I don't want to see that week 17 ever again. This guy's dead to me.
Right.
We literally had one of those texts earlier in the show.
Right. I remember on Sunday, Mike and I were doing the fan football pregame show, and Mike was like, nobody's really expecting a big win against the Chiefs. Not really. But we want to see a competitive game. But when that went out the window and Drew just had a flat-out bad game, I think that's what raised things to the forget about him developing. This is critical mass here. Anyways, here's Drew about handling that criticism.
Yeah, I mean, you play quarterback, you're going to get criticized regardless. I've been criticized plenty of times that go to the University of Missouri. It just is what it is. That's what we signed up to do, but this is also what we love to do. Part of the time is people that criticize can be out here doing what we do anyways. So it's a funny thing.
But, well, there you go, Drew.
They're analytics people. They'll look at it. And sometimes the analytics are true. Can't deny that. But most of the time, the people that can't be out here doing it.
Oh, double down.
Wow. He hit us with I played the game.
I mean, that's what I want to say to you, just about it. I see you, Big O. I mean, be honest, Big O, like, how long would it take you to destroy an entire large pizza? I know you're watching your weight right now, but it's not hard, right?
5 minutes?
I mean, D-Mac's sitting here acting like I'm like some glutton over here for eating a large pizza. Like, I call that a Monday.
We'll get to Orlando in a second. Orlando's looking more and more like a basketball player than an offensive lineman.
Looks good. Big O looks great, man.
My goodness. All right, well, there's Drew getting his fur up a little bit. All right.
I call him Tiny O.
People want to criticize, they don't play the game.
At least you act like you've never had a large pizza.
I've never been able to do it.
Oh, give me a break.
Swear to God.
Liar!
I've been criticized for it. I've been like called less than a man because I've never, ever been able to eat an entire large pizza.
I don't believe
it. A large pizza? I've never, no.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's nothing worse than a liar.
Dude, why, after everything, am I ups and downs?
What kind of grown man has never eaten an entire large pizza?
I'm telling you, I just, and I'm not some sort of skinny mini or am I bragging here? I just think I could never do it. I mean, but you're looking at me and I could polish off a dozen Hawaiian rolls in about 2.5 minutes.
Hawaiian rolls are good.
They're ridiculous.
I made a peanut butter and jelly on Hawaiian roll today.
Trust me, I've had my carb issues, Tyler, over the years. I don't think that's a secret. But the ability to wolf down an entire large pizza, it's beyond my comprehension.
I thought it was like a rite of passage.
Well, I told you that it's been a topic over the years. one more with Drew Locke. Third down. So Mike Kliss, our guy Mike Kliss went into a deep dive about some very specific numbers. And he put the positive stuff out. But then he asked Drew Locke about third down. Third down's been tough for Drew Locke. And it's been tough for Drew Locke on third and manageable. I'm talking like third and five, third and six, Tyler. We're not talking third and 13. We're talking, listen, man, that's the money down, right? That's why you get paid to be the quarterback to get those third downs. And here's what Drew had to say about that.
Third down is a category in itself in practice. Defenses bring countless number of things in certain sections of third downs, as you well know. And, third down's tough. And I think one of the things, if we go back and look at our stats is, we can be better at third and shorts, but we got to keep ourselves out of the long third downs. I know personally last game, I could have, I could have at least maybe two or three of those third downs. I'm like 3rd and 2 to 6, 3rd and 3 to 6, somewhere in that range. Missed a couple baby throws. Those that I made in Pop Warner, and that's unacceptable by me. And again, like I said, I'm working on that not happening again, and just sharpening the focus a little bit there on those third downs.
I'm not even sure what that means, sharpening the focus.
I have to do better.
Are you, unfocused? I mean,
no.
What does that even mean?
No, don't do your radio thing on that. It just means I have to do better. That's all. I got to be better.
My radio thing.
Yeah. Where you try to overanalyze every word.
Oh, okay. All right, so what's the problem? What is the problem then? I won't do my radio thing. What's the problem?
Well, I mean, what a loaded question. It starts with, before the ball's ever snapped, it starts with identifying the coverage. It starts with knowing what your progressions need to be. When the ball snaps, sometimes that coverage can change on you. Sometimes it's not what you thought it was. So can you re-identify it after that ball's been snapped before you ever throw the ball? And it's about knowing where your guys are supposed to be. To me, what I see is a guy that he's made his mind up when he calls the play, probably in the huddle, he's probably made his mind up of where he's going to throw that ball. And not yet alone, like getting to the line of scrimmage and making your mind up then. I would much rather see it like you got to the line of scrimmage, you saw it single high, and no matter what, I'm throwing the ball deep. Okay, at least then I would feel like, all right, well, you identified something. You made a decision based off something you saw. I just don't think he is properly identifying things, and he doesn't know who's supposed to be open based off whether it's cover two, cover three, cover one.
What about missing on baby throws that he could make in Pop Warner?
I haven't really seen a whole lot of that. I don't know that I've seen a whole lot of that. I see the guy going deep. I see the guy not throwing to the right guy. But accuracy has not been a huge concern of mine with Drew Lock. Have you?
A couple times.
I mean, to the point where it's of concern?
To the point that I'm always amazed when you have very short throws that you miss them. To the point where it's a slant and it's behind the receiver, like Hamler's, which was behind him. Now, should he have caught it? Maybe.
Oh, that's a good example. I mean, that was definitely a ball that should have been delivered. Like, you got a slant, man. I mean, put it in front of him, let him catch it in stride, let him take it to the house. You know?
I mean, it is confounding, too, because, listen, I get it. It's limited practices this year. But I watched Drew Lock much more thoroughly last year once he came back and practiced. Yeah. And I just never saw any issues with throws like that ever. You know, Drew Lock in practice, I'm telling you, he looks fantastic in practice.
That's a good example. That's a ball that should have been put in front of him, and certainly that was a bad throw.
Not a hard throw.
But still, I still have not seen enough that I'm, like, panicked about his accuracy. For me, it's decision-making.
Yeah. But that's a dangerous combination when you're it's like you're gripping a little bit. Like, you're just holding on to that ball maybe for whatever mental reason, just a little bit longer than you normally would, and you're having problems putting the ball down the field. That's a tricky one. That's what, man. And I'm not going to hang this on Drew because he's a young guy, and he'll get better and he'll develop. But that's the type of thing that just gets in your head, and maybe you can't shake it. That to me is almost like the yips in baseball. With that, you saw Altuve? What do you think, that's a hard throw? From second base to first? That's a play most middle school kids can make.
Well, you're right. For sure you're right. But I think it's correctable. I do. I mean, I think, it's about knowing. Like, why are you late as a quarterback? Why would you be late? Because you didn't know before that ball was snapped where you were going to put it. If you identify things, you'll be able to put it where it's supposed to be on time.
All right, well, let's bring everybody into this.
KKF Fix, Denver, Boulder, HD2, Longmont,
Denver and stuff.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
5 o'clock.
Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. All the dope boys yelling, bring them out.
I hope they go enjoy that ode to him that we did there.
You guys are haters. I'm the best one at the station that does it. You guys are haters. I do it so well nowadays, guys. I literally do it like every day.
Can I be nitpicky?
That's not that hard.
Should I be nitpicky or not? Should I just agree with you or should I?
Don't hate, D-Mac. What do you want to be nitpicky about? This is supposed to be a fun conversation. You coming at me already?
No.
Let's go.
I'll stay away from
it. Put the gloves on, big O. Let's go.
You are the best one at it. By the way, we should start off. And Nate, hello, Nate Jackson.
Hello.
Don't want to ignore Nate.
Hey, guys.
But we do want to say our first chance to congratulate you in person on the birth of your new baby. Give us the details again.
7 pounds, 6 ounces. He was born. You really putting me on the spot, right?
How about his name?
More like 2 weeks ago. No, October 9th, 7 pounds, 6 ounces. Kylo Sonny Franklin. The Sonny part is for actually BT, Bobby Turner.
Speculating it was from Sonny from The Godfather, which would be terrible. He got shot up at that toll booth. That was awful.
Yeah, so BT was born his mom gave birth to him at about 14 years old.
Okay.
Very young, And he's one of 13 children.
Goodness.
So
goodness.
In his family, they always referred to him, mom and dad always referred to him as Sonny.
Okay.
So that was something Kiana wanted to do. And this is 4 years ago, before we even got married. Kiana's saying, hey, when we have kids, could we name one of the kids' middle name Sonny after my father? So, he loves those girls. He treats them like they are, the twinkle in his eyes.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a true testament to him as a father. And how those girls grew up. But yeah, so Kylo Sonny Franklin.
Is Kylo after Kylo Ren from Star Wars?
No. So the crazy thing about it is...
You're going to have to live with that one, though, man. That is going to be a thing.
No.
Very few people.
Yeah.
Nobody watches Star Wars. Nobody pays attention to Star Wars.
Never seen a Star Wars movie in my life.
I don't care if you've done it. There's millions.
Generational, man.
I mean, and so nobody's going to know.
Not a lot of people.
So that's never going to come up.
I didn't say never.
All right.
Yeah, but real quick.
Bobby T's the man. Just, I'm glad you guys were able to do that for him.
Yeah, we kind of just fell into the name. We woke up that morning. Kiana wanted Brayden, and I wanted Zaire.
Okay.
And we're literally sitting there. We've never heard the name Kylo before. And I start Googling. Like, she's all hooked up to the IV. They're ready to take her back there. I start Googling four-letter names for boys. And got to, like, page 6, ran across Kylo. Said, hey, Keeks, what do you think about Kylo? She was like, that's cool. How do you spell it? Told her the spelling. And they literally grabbed her back and went to go give her the epidural to start the C-section.
Wow.
I walk in. She's on the table. And I'm like, hey, I feel like we're destined for Kylo because it starts with a K. Your name starts with a K and ends with an O. My name starts with a O and ends with an O. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. And
boom.
I was like, perfect.
Great story.
Boom.
Nate, dad talk with you. How you doing? How's the baby? Where are you month-wise?
10 months.
10 months. Teeth?
Yeah, he's got like 5 or 6 of them.
There you go.
Couple more coming in, causing some teething issues. He keeps scratching, pulling at his ear. He's got some fingernails, and he's scratching holes in his ear.
Walking or not walking?
Not yet.
Close, though.
Crawling, rolling.
Probably getting there.
Barrel rolling.
All right. Well, first of all, it's great to have both you guys here. One last one for Orlando. Seriously, what do you weigh right now? What are you at?
I was 259 this morning.
That's
awesome, dude.
I appreciate it. I feel good. Don't you feel good, Tyler? Like
great.
Your back, your knees, you wake up, you don't have to stretch.
I'm going
to
be honest, I feel terrible still.
What?
I mean, I'm glad I'm not fat, but I still feel terrible.
What hurts, Tyler?
Oh, my gosh. I need a back fusion. I've had a disc replacement on the neck. I got to do that again. I mean, I got all kinds of issues. But don't worry about me. I'm fine.
What is your end goal here, Orlando?
Originally, the goal was 260. 260, we're jumping out of planes.
So you hit it.
So I've hit the goal, but I've reset my expectations. I think I'm going to go down to 245.
Whatever it takes to get yourself a six-pack, Orlando. That's right.
You look like Peyton Manning.
If I get a six-pack... You guys wouldn't like me because you see how we've had the bad weather the last couple of days? I'd be outside shirt topless. If I get a six-pack, I'm never putting on a shirt ever again.
Hi, boys. Let's go around the room. What do we think of that game? Nate, let me start with you. You started being very optimistic about most things, looking at the bright side of life.
Yeah.
But I think we've corrupted you as you've been involved with talk radio a little bit more and more. So what did you think overall about the performance against the Chiefs?
Well, I was optimistic about it. I actually chose on the air that they were going to win this game.
You did. You were one of two, you and Kendall.
I really believed.
That's
me
true.
Me and Kendall.
Yep.
The two brightest football minds at the station. I thought they would rise to the occasion. I thought they would realize how much is at stake, and I thought they would play sound football. And what we saw from the Broncos was a team that did not play sound football at all. You know, they just kind of shot themselves in the foot every chance they got. It seemed as if every time they had a moment of momentum coming their way, they flailed and lost it. And you look at the Chiefs. They played seven games. They've won six of them, and they've won them all in different ways. I think the main thing with the Chiefs is special teams, offense, defense. They don't make mistakes. They don't turn the ball over. These young Broncos do a lot of that. The defense looked really good, and Vic did blitz a little bit, and it worked.
A little bit.
And it
just
worked.
A little bit.
And
yeah.
It worked. So I think like the whole thing that everyone was so afraid of was Pat Mahomes and how dangerous he was all week long. It wasn't Pat Mahomes that beat the Broncos. It was the other phases of the game that weren't shored up. So I think the Broncos just, they need to figure out how to play sound football from whistle to whistle and not make those mistakes that lose you games.
Orlando, were you yelling at the TV at all?
No, I typically now watch Bronco games without the volume on. I watch it on mute. So
why do you do that?
Just I don't want to hear what the opinion of the announcers, and I don't want to hear the fake crowd noise that's pumped in.
So, all right.
I just watch it on mute, try to give my honest opinion, and I watch plays which it's the same plays that I ran a couple years ago when I was still in the league. But just watching that game, it was depressing because you see that Kansas City won the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. Typically, teams give you everything they got when they're going against the Super Bowl defending champs. And that was everything that the Broncos had this past week. Under Drew Lock, that was everything that they had. So it was a depressing game to watch. I thought offensively that they still don't know who they are as a football team. I kind of am guessing as in the run game, you want to pull your guards, you're pulling your tight ends, you want to do some misdirection things. That's what I got out of this game because they ran for 177 yards. But in the passing game, I'm just looking at things where it's a ton of head scratchers. You know, I think the biggest problem right now with this offense is the play calling. I think Pat Shurmur is doing a horrible job of calling the plays for the Broncos and just really not putting Drew Lock in the best position to succeed. This is a guy that loves his tight ends. You know, you got to find ways for him to get his tight ends more involved.
Well, hold on. Let me interrupt you just for a second. And Nate, maybe you'd appreciate 17 targets to tight ends.
Yes.
7 for Albert O.
Yes.
7 for Noah Fant, 3 to Vinette.
Yes.
17 targets. That's involving your tight end.
Yes, and that's what it should look like moving forward, D-Mac. So what I mean by you got to find a way to get them more involved, I'm talking about the run game as well. I'm talking about you got to find ways when you get down to the red zone where it's for sure. It's for sure it's going to these guys. And shallow crossing routes. Why can't we run that with the tight ends? Because our tight ends, you got one that runs 4.5, you got another one that runs 4.49. So hey, don't give me this that we have to live in this 3-wide stuff, because when you're living in 3-wide, you're underperforming as an offense. So Drew Lock loves to throw to his tight ends. I was talking about that earlier on in my show today. 17 targets out of 36 this week. So he loves those guys, but you have to find more ways where if you're going 3-by-1, maybe you put a tight end on the backside so it forces him to scan the field because you know that Drew Lock's not scanning the whole field right now. So there's different things that Pat Shurmur needs to do to get these guys more involved. And when I look at the flea flicker, horrible play. I look at the sack earlier in the game. You go tackle over. Why are you moving Garrett Bowles? He's been doing awesome at the left tackle position. Why are you going tackle over with Dotson and Bowles give up
that
sack?
Why don't you explain tackle over? What do you mean?
Garrett Bowles was playing basically the right tight end position. They moved him from the original position to left tackle position. So they had Dotson and Bowles on the same side, on the right side. There was some miscommunication early in the game, and they gave up a sack where they were also in 3-wide at the same time, right? Flea flicker, you're in 3-wide as well. You're backed up, and then you go quarterback sneak. You don't pay Drew Lock to run the football. Why do you play Melvin Gordon? Why do you play Phillip Lindsay? Why do we play Royce Freeman? So just things like that where you're just wondering, what is the true identity of this offense? Defensively, I thought they gave it their best shot on the defense. And whatever's going on special teams, I don't even know. I don't even know how you fix it.
All right, Tyler.
Well, it was a wild game, man. I mean, you gave up 43 points, and Patrick Mahomes didn't convert a single third down. I mean, are you kidding me? If you told me coming into this game Patrick Mahomes doesn't convert a single third down, I'm telling you, we got a pretty good chance of winning this football game. Matter of fact, we probably did win this football game. I would agree with just about everything they've said. I don't know what the identity of this offense is. The special teams, to me, I've had enough of Tom McMahon. Listen, something needs to change, and I don't know if it's going to change in season or not, but I'm tired of special teams putting us in a spot where we're playing behind the eight ball because they gave up points on special teams. You can't do it. You can't have it.
Well, let me ask Nate, because I'm going to guess, Nate, you played a little bit more special teams than Orlando and Tyler. It's just a guess on my part.
Mm-hmm.
You got a diagnosis for what's going on there?
Well, the special teams, the big four, kickoff return, punt return, they're basically bottom five in the league in three out of those four. Kickoff return, and punt. The only unit they're actually doing some good things are is punt return, and that's on the strength of like this 142-yard return. When I look at that kickoff that got returned for a touchdown, you know, sometimes these days, because they've moved the ball up 5 yards and these guys have big legs, the kickoff unit will assume it's going to be a touchback.
Well, they should. We looked it up, 1,152 kickoffs, only that was the third one. So previous to that return, out of 1,152 kickoff returns, only two before that actually were returned for touchdowns. So are you saying they just sort of...
So what I'm saying is sometimes as the ball leaves the tee, you assume if it's you think it's a certain velocity that it's going to get a touchback, and so you throttle down on your coverage, and mm-hmm. you don't attack it like you normally would if you thought he was bringing it out or if it was a short kick. And so those guys seem to have throttled down a bit, and then they pursued it at the wrong angles. That R2 and R3, the guys were on the right side, they kind of folded over and allowed a really easy cutback lane. The guy didn't get touched. And he, you know, ran 102 yards for a touchdown. So, hey, that's really discipline of its lane integrity. You have to stay in your lanes and know where you fit there. But, yeah, dude, if every unit is bad, then I guess that's a coaching issue. Maybe it's a personnel issue, too. But I do think that the lack of preseason, we talked about this before, mm-hmm. lack of preseason, lack of offseason stuff for special teams really hurt them because they couldn't really see what they had and who they had in that room in the preseason to see, okay, who do we want to use on game day? So they're actually trying to figure out where people fit during the season, and that leaves you pretty vulnerable.
Well, this is a treat having you guys here because you're all offensive players. So let me just go around the room here. Tyler, maybe start with you. How would you like playing in this offense?
That would be frustrating because, you know, one of the biggest things I loved about playing for Kyle Shanahan, and in particular the West Coast offense is kind of known for this, but Kyle, more than anybody, man, everything is sequential, and everything had a reason. And so when we ran 18 zone on first down, I had a pretty good hunch of what was going to come on second down. And specifically in the first 15, I mean, you definitely knew what was coming then. But when you play with the offensive coordinator long enough, you should be able to sit there in the huddle. And oftentimes, I mean, we actually would literally sit there in the huddle, and we'd be like, all right, here comes the naked. We're good, fellas. Here comes the freebie. Like, this one we're going to be good on. And I have no idea what the rhyme or reason is of this offense, but that's not news to us. I mean, we watched Pat Shurmur in the offseason. We watched the Giants. We watched the Vikings. I never could figure out what the rhyme or reason is. And I guess I'll ask Nate and Big O here. One of the biggest things that I've been on here the last couple days is I just don't feel like I can see anything that is going offensively that is designed to bring out the best of Drew Locke. Like, what are we doing offensively that is designed for Drew's strengths?
We're running four verticals. Go ahead, take a shot deep, Drew.
Go deep.
Go deep. You know, let's see that arm. Throw it 50 yards down the air. I would just, for me, I would hate playing in this offense.
I hate it.
I'm more of with Tyler, more in sync. You know, in the first 6 years of my career, I basically lived almost in the same offense or had the same offensive coordinator. Even when I left here, I had Mike McCoy for 2 years, and that was the same offense that we ran here for the past 3 years with Peyton. And a lot of it, you know, trying to trickle down from Kyle Orton here, you know, and it was evolving constantly.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing with this offense is when things go right, all of a sudden you just go in a complete different direction. You know, I look at when I'm watching the game, you're going to run the flea flicker, but the plays before that, you're running out of two tight ends and you're having success and you're having success running the football. But all of a sudden you want to go three wides and now you're trying to take a shot, but you don't even execute the pitch back right.
So it wasn't set up right and it wasn't executed right, obviously.
Right. When you look at a guy like the Shanahan tree, right, you look at that big tree, all that stuff is designed to take shots deep, but you got to be successful in the run game and everything looks alike. The Broncos right now, they go out there and run three plays. They look three completely different things that they're running. They're running out of two tight ends, three wides. Then all of a sudden, you got four wide receivers out there. There's nothing where you're bunching things up.
Makes play action tough.
Yeah, really making the defense think. And now the defense knows what's coming before. And then you already have a struggling offensive line. And then the defense knows that it's pass, that we're throwing the ball right here. So it makes no sense to me when I'm just watching this offense.
Let me give you a little baseball thing from a baseball guy to three great football guys. If you've watched some of the graphics in the World Series in the postseason, they call it tunneling, which means that a pitcher will throw a ball, and for a good progression, the ball is doing the same thing for a while. And then depending on the spin and how that pitcher's throwing the ball, it'll diverge, which is really amazing to see that happen. But tunneling means it starts down the same path, and then it goes its own ways. That's what it sounds like to me. Like if you were a pitcher and every time you threw a curveball, you went sidearm. Well, you would know. If every time you threw a fastball, you would come like straight over the top. A slider, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like you're saying to me, Orlando.
So
that when the Broncos are actually stepping up there, it's easy to figure out what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're not giving you, they're not tunneling.
They're not giving you different variations.
They're not, that's right. Yeah. It's all different things.
So when I played here with Peyton and D-Mac, we had this thing called a value menu. And the value menu is basically when you go to McDonald's and you want a Big Mac with a medium fry and a medium Coke, you don't go there and say, hey, let me get a Big Mac, medium fry, medium Coke. Mm-hmm. Just say, let me get a number one medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, in this value menu, we had the ability to run 20 different plays
off of that one look.
Out of the one look.
Right.
But then you could also now flip the plays and go strong right or strong left. So depending on where you want to put the tight end and set it. So basically, we had 40 plays. When we were killing teams and everybody's looking at us in 2013 and highest scoring offense, we lived in that. It was 40 plays that we were always up. It looked like the same thing every time, but the teams couldn't get a beat. And out of the 40 plays that we ran, 20 of them were runs, 20 of them were passes.
Nate, are you seeing things the same way from a skill position perspective?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, when you're game planning during the week, you put in a lot of stuff. You have a first 15 plays that are kind of, that run the gamut on the stuff that you'd like to do, that you think is going to work versus the defense you're going to play. Then the game starts, and some of that stuff doesn't work. But it seems as if Pat Shurmur still wants to do the stuff he practiced that he thought was going to work, even when the other stuff is working better. You know, they're getting 8, 9, 10 yards a pop, and then they decide to go zebra and try to air it out down the field.
What does zebra mean?
Zebra's three receivers.
Okay.
So you got these young receivers you drafted, so you want to use them, right? But not if the other thing is working. Football is not that complicated of a sport. You got to get the ball in the hand of the guys that can run with it and let them run with it. Put them in positions that allow them to succeed. Receivers really like simple routes. They don't like all kinds of crazy combinations and stuff. Run a hitch. Run a comeback. Run double outs, double slants. Those are really easy routes that receivers can catch momentum with. And I feel like for guys like Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, they need little easy 5-yard hitches, slants, outs to get their hands on the ball and get them moving.
What do you see now? What do you see happening now?
Well, I see more kind of conceptual stuff, down the field stuff, all or nothing stuff. Not really easy 3-step drop and get the ball out stuff. And also those really easy routes are good for Drew Lock too, because he needs to build his confidence.
This sounds like it's kind of, fellas, Tyler, kind of easily correctable then.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you're talking about an overall philosophy of offensive football, like what Big O was talking about, what you were talking about with tunneling. Like, you know, your passing game comes off of your running game, your play action. Like, I couldn't tell you what our style of attack is in the running game. I mean, we run a little bit of everything. We run some inside zone, some outside zone. We run some counters. But when you go play action, like, what is the bread and butter? You should be able to know when you go play action, everybody knows that it looks the exact same way as it would in the run game and the passing game. And that's like why I say an easy way to start building in some of that. Well, if you don't have an entire system that's built around it, if you start building in a little bit more zone read, well, it's very easy to replicate in the play action of the zone read what you can in the actual run version of it. And it would be an easy way to start sprinkling in some of it here and there.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm hearing this is on coaching more than it's about Drew Lock. Orlando, do you think that's what it is?
I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that, though. I mean, it's both. Okay. I mean, players got to go out and they got to play. Yeah. Drew Lock's got to make good decisions. He can't just launch it deep. I mean, if you've got a progression and you get up to the line of scrimmage, no matter what the play is called, I don't care what they do, you've got to do your job at the line of scrimmage as well. I mean, I would agree play calling could improve for sure, but at the end of the day, players got to go out there and they got to play and they got to execute what is called.
For me, you can't just point this thing at one person. You know, I'm looking at Pat Shurmur needs to do better. Drew Lock needs to be better. And also the guys that are catching the football. You know, Drew Lock's not going to have confidence in you if you're dropping footballs in the end zone. He's not going to want to go back to you. So I think the blame is split between those three units. But it's not solely on Drew Lock. It's not solely on play calling. But play calling could help out so much more better. When you look at last year and Drew Lock, the Houston game was his best. The Houston game has been the best game of Drew Lock's career. We all agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
Well, there's 10 different people that caught balls in that game. You know, why were you able to scan the whole field in that game on the road going against Houston, but you can't do it no more? So I think that it's a little bit of everybody. But Drew also needs to know in his mind that at the end of the day, I don't have to go up and go get it all on this one throw. You got to play within your system. I look at a guy like Fitzpatrick. I know he just got benched in Miami. I think Miami, that's horrible that they did that to him. He's been playing awesome. But he's been in the league as long as he's been in the league because he truly understands whatever system he's going into. And he plays within the system. He doesn't try to go out there and do his own thing. With young quarterbacks like Drew Lock, he's going to go back to his bad habits, and we see him throwing off his back leg, but he wants to throw the ball deep. And if you're calling those plays, he's going to look at that read, and he's going to go try to fit it in there and double coverage.
All right, quick one here, right before we go to break. Rapid response. Was it a mistake to fire Rich Scangarello, and quickly, why? Nate.
No. I don't think so. I mean, look, they're struggling on offense right now, for sure.
But that was not a mistake.
No.
Okay, Tyler?
Yes, and the biggest reason is consistency for Drew Lock. Drew Lock needs the ability to go into an offseason seeing the same thing that he had last year, making the same calls, and he was playing good football in it. It was a mistake, yeah.
Orlando?
Yes, it was a mistake. You know, Pat Shurmur's been the offensive coordinator for many years in this league, but through the first six games, I haven't seen him adapt and adjust to the personnel that he has.
Nate, I'll give you a couple seconds to rebut it.
We'll skip. Look, I wasn't here last year, guys. I don't know the nuts and bolts of every single game and how it went down, but I'll tell you that no one could have predicted COVID to happen and shorten the offseason and get them off the field. Mm. So a lot of learning would have had taken place during that time. But when it comes to Pat Shurmur, I heard him talk earlier in the year about the coaching tree that he came up under and all the people he learned from. And it's quite an impressive group of coaches, but they're all different styles. And so Pat Shurmur has learned from all these masters, but they're all different styles. And so he's like a musician who plays bluegrass and rap music and country. And, oh, I also do electronic. And what do you do? And so I think it's hard for his offense to understand what is our identity, what is our bread and butter. So maybe he just needs to focus on one instrument.
It's the Fan War Room brought to you by Brothers Barbecue here on The Drive. All right, we'll get insight on what Nate's working on next. Can't wait to hear what the song is. Plus, we're going to go to the sideline. You guys are all going to go to the sideline and talk to Drew Lock. What will you tell him? That's next.